Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian Insight Podcast number 217. This is being recorded on Monday, the 25th of June, 2012. It'll be a slightly different podcast because we're going to start off with myself and Mr. Rafe Blandford. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here. Hope you're going to enjoy this podcast.
And we're going to dial in David halfway through for reasons which hopefully will become evident. The first part of the podcast, unsurprisingly, Rafe, is all about the 808 PureView, which is now in the house. Yay!
Absolutely. We've finally got our 808 PureView. We had to have a little discussion between Steve and I as to who would get it, and Steve won that particular discussion or debate or fight, if you like. But yes, it is finally here. So we thought we'd devote the first half of the podcast, at least, to this new imaging flagship, because there's an awful lot to talk about, and I know a lot of people are keen to hear our opinion now that we've got a retail unit to talk about.
Yeah, so first of all, we had the, not an unboxing, more a sort of a gallery of images that went up on Friday. And over the weekend, I was beavering away, you'll be glad to hear, Rafe, and I got the first part of the main review up. Now, rather than other sites, which they try to cover the entire device in a seven-part review totaling about 2,000 or 3,000 words, which they've cobbled together over the first 3 days, we're going to do a full, in-depth, seven-part review. The Lumia 800 review went at 8 parts, Rafe, so I may not break that record, but we're estimating it'll be around 20,000 to 30,000 words over the next month. Part one's up on the site, so do go and read that. Part 2A will be about the stills camera and looking at the details of actually what makes up your view and is it any good, and that will be going up midweek this week. I have to say, Rafe, you probably gathered from the last few lines in my review, which were rather personal, but I had a few people commenting online that they felt strangely moved, so maybe it rang some bells with other 808 owners. I have to say, I'm falling in love with this device, and I just feel, I know you're insanely jealous, but I can't do much about that.
Well, as you can imagine, this comes as a big shock to me, having been at the device launch and then seen it in Germany. And I would say that if people want a sort of general overview of the device, read some of our earlier pieces as well. We've done lots of coverage on some of the technical detail. But obviously, on All About Symbian, we'd like to provide you with all the detail that you want. You know, you'll get a lot out of the first part if you're just looking for a general overview. But we're going to be going into more detail on the kind of the imaging, the stills, the video performance, and then the special camera modes as well, as well as looking at from the point of view of a Symbian device and some of the extra bits of that are on there in application terms. That's all to come, but I think pretty obviously the major focus is on the camera module. And even from I think Steve's first part of view, you'll be able to gather that it's something pretty special, a big step forward. But yes, Steve is, I think you've already taken a couple of hundred pictures, Steve, and I know in due course I look forward to getting my hands on the 808, but I know it's in good hands in terms of getting lots and lots of information on just how good that camera module is.
Yeah, it reminds me in many ways of things like the Nokia N93 and N95 back in the early days when you just wanted to go out and just snap everything in sight, knowing that every single shot will be a winner. The thing about most camera phones is you wander around and you're in social situations, you're at parties, you're at work, you're wandering on the road, and you think, well, shall I bother taking that photograph? No, it won't come out very well. The light's not very good, or it's too far away, and you don't bother. When you've got something in your pocket, in your phone that's always with you, and if you're too far away, you can zoom in. If the light's not very good, it'll cope. If the light's terrible, it'll cope. It's got a double strengthening and flash. When you've got a device in your pocket which can capture every moment, whatever the situation, then it's reliable, then you've really got a winner. And that's how I feel about the 808 PureView. It basically takes the N8, which was already the best camera phone in the world, in my opinion, and basically improves every single thing that you could possibly find wrong with the N8 has been improved or fixed. Only thing I would say is that it does feel a bit like the original N95, Rafe, and that the firmware isn't 100% stable. Now, this is me being a bit of a power user and rather fussy, but I have had a couple of restarts, and I did manage to crash the camera stroke image processing software a couple of times and took a few black photos, which is rather worrying. I have reported these to Nokia, so it kind of feels like I'm on the bleeding edge, and that's absolutely right, because this PureView technology, I know it's been in development for 5 years, Rafe, but it's still very much being refined at the moment, and of course being refined for shoehorning into the Windows Phone platform. There's clearly developers still hard at work on this PureView, and I suspect there's at least a couple of small firmware updates that the 808 will get fairly soon.
Yes, I think you'll probably find that you'll get firmware updates, particularly around the camera and the imaging performance. And I mean, I think it's really much like any device when it comes out. There are going to be the odd glitch, and I think it's fairly typical of all mobile devices now. It's sadly, you don't get a perfect device out first time. I think there's obviously a balance to be struck there between, you know, releasing it too early and, you know, waiting until it's sort of mature. And part of the issue here, of course, is that once you release the device out into the wild, you suddenly found out about more bugs, and, you know, because you've got people using it in more situations. But I do agree with what you said about the camera. You know, I haven't had the, you know, the time to play with it in the real world. But looking at the brief hands-on time I had and then talking to people who have got one, you know, the thing that strikes me most about this, in some ways, yes, amazing camera and all of that, and that's, you know, really important, but it's much more forgiving as well when you're taking photographs. So the chance of capturing what you want, you know, suddenly shoot up. You know, the same thing happened with the N95, which I felt was probably the first device that could realistically replace a point-and-shoot camera,
yeah,
you know, and get acceptable results out for 6x4 prints or, you know, showing on a screen. And the N8 definitely built on that. But the 808 sort of takes that another step further. And really, you know, you're very unlikely to have a point-and-shoot camera that is as good as the 808 unless you're buying one of the top-end models. And as I go, well, what's the point? This is the, you know, the camera that's in your pocket all the time. And I think one of the things that people will probably be most surprised about is just how much better the camera UI is. I think it's a big step up from the N8, and that also changes the way you take, you know, shots with this smartphone. It's much easier to use as a camera, and it feels much more like a camera than it does a smartphone. I mean, other people have remarked it's almost like a camera bolted onto a smartphone. Actually, for me, it's sometimes more a smartphone that's been bolted onto a camera.
I would like to just comment on the interface. Although I appreciate they put a lot of work into the camera interface, and it is quite easy to find your way around, I have to say that most of the time, and I'm ashamed to admit this, I actually take most shots in automatic using the standard widescreen 5-megapixel mode and letting, because there are so many options. That's the problem. You've got 8-megapixel, 5-megapixel, 2-megapixel pure view. You've got the full creative mode with 38-megapixel. You've got about 10 different things and parameters you can vary within each exposure. Contrast, sharpening, ISO. It's just bewildering. Now, if you're a real camera fan, you can play with all these and have great fun. But if you're just out and about, you just leave everything on automatic, and the 808 camera does its job and does the job very well. And I think that's where the beauty will stand for most people.
Yeah.
And leave everything automatic.
And that's a real compliment to the Nokia software engineers, that the automatic mode is so good, because that's really down to software algorithms identifying what you're taking a picture of and obviously setting, you know, the settings, the camera controls appropriately. I think you may find, Steve, as you use it a bit more, you know, you start exploring the settings. But in some ways, I think that's what's so good about the camera UI. It's what I might refer to as self-disclosing UI, in that you've got the fully automatic mode that keeps things very simple. And effectively, all you've got is, I think it's a flash on-off control. And then it's a, you know, camera shutter, take the picture. You go over to the scene modes, you get a few more options. And that's, you know, maybe if you're doing macro photography or stuff like that, that becomes useful, or an action shot. And then if you want even more, you go over to the creative mode. But in a way, you've almost got three camera applications, and you can choose the one that's appropriate to your level. Whereas, you know, previously we've had kind of a single camera application with all the settings mixed in. And as you say, it does get confusing the more settings you have. And, you know, if you're not aware of what things do, you know, it can be quite intimidating. So that's why I think this camera UI is so smart, because effectively you're getting three different usage scenarios within the same application. It's very easy to switch back and forth between the two if you want to. But should you want to, as Steve's obviously done in the last few days, you just stay in fully automatic mode and you'll get fantastic results out of it.
Yeah. But it does, as I say, improve on the N8 in many other ways too, not least the fact that it's a slightly larger form factor with a proper 4-inch screen, the same screen as on the E7 to all intents and purposes, with the clear black display, and it does look absolutely stunning. Yes, if you look really, really closely, you can see the pixels, but I don't care. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm just too enamored by the device generally. The pixelation is absolutely 0.0% a problem for me, so thoroughly happy with it. Rafe, I've got a question for you, though. Who's actually going to buy the 808? Now, we've kind of seen demand for it around the world from arch geeks and camera phone fans, which is understandable. Obviously, most N8 owners are going to aspire to this, and if they can afford it, they'll upgrade. So I guess that gives Nokia, you know, 2 or 3 million sales worldwide just off the bat.
It's difficult to say. I mean, I agree with you. It's an obvious upgrade to the N8, but there are other devices out there that N8 owners might go to. And you have to sort of bear in mind that a lot of them will be on a 2-year cycle of a contract, so it won't be, you know, time for them to upgrade yet. So you think, what are the devices that are going to come out over the 2-year period of the update cycle, and will the 808 be the only option? I suspect it probably won't be. So immediately reading, you know, 2 or 3 million sales might be optimistic. I mean, the N8, I think, in its first year sold about 4 million devices, something like that. You know, obviously these numbers are always guesses because Nokia tends not to release detailed statistics on this sort of thing.
Of course, there's a problem, Rafe, in that you're talking about two-year contracts, but of course the N8 was ranged by virtually every operator across the world. The 808 is being ranged by comparatively few operators, so an awful lot of people are going to get the 808 SIM free and actually have to seek it out, which is more work for them, but will give them more flexibility at the end of the day.
And that was going to be my next point. You know, it basically isn't going to be available in the same way as the N8. And, you know, a lot of people listening to the podcast won't bat an eyelid at buying a device SIM free. But the truth is, it obviously depends on the market you're looking at. But let's say talk about the UK. I think it's something like 95% of devices are bought, you know, pay as you go, which obviously doesn't really apply here, or on a contract, and that's particularly true for smartphones. You know, relatively few people are buying SIM-free, so that limits the sales numbers quite significantly. So it comes back to kind of what you said first of all. It's going to be people who are, you know, are camera geeks or who, you know, really like Symbian are going to go out and buy this device. You know, some markets it is going to be available in operators, and I have no doubt it'll sell well there. I think perhaps in places like the UK, the US, and other markets where it's not going to be ranged by an operator, sales may be more limited, which is sad because, I mean, for me, this is the ultimate Symbian device. And yes, it's the last hurrah, but it's also the best Symbian device they've ever produced. So, you know, it is a niche device, so sales are going to be limited. But I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, volume, a lot of excitement online about this device just because it's, you know, producing something that no other smartphone can do and in a really obvious visual way. You know, you're sharing photographs from the 808, you know, it looks so much better than anything else that it really gives it a strong point. So that, I would suggest, may mean that they're able to sell more devices SIM-free than for a typical model just because there will be that level of excitement about it. But of course, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, so people might want it, they might look and go, that's great, but they might go, actually, it's not really practical, because there are obviously other dimensions to the purchasing decision outside the camera. And I think, you know, savvy consumers are going to look at this and go, there's probably going to be PureView technology in future Nokia devices, and we don't obviously know the timeline of that, but I think there's a good chance that it will be less time than most people expect, and certainly within 12 months there will be one, or maybe two, PureView device out there. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see something on Windows Phone by the end of the year. You know, Windows Phone 8's just being previewed, so it'll be an obvious time to do that. I will say I expect the 808 to remain kind of the top of the class, because in the future devices I expect there to be more of a compromise in order to get a thinner device. That will probably mean reducing the sensor size down, maybe the number of megapixels or some other element of it. So it'll still be PureView, which is really about software, optics and high quality sensor, but it might not be pushed quite as far as the 808 is. And so, you know, I'd expect the 808 to kind of remain the benchmark for camera phone imaging for the foreseeable future, at least. So this, you know, this question of sales is not an easy one. We both want one. We're both going to use one. And I think there's probably quite a few people listening to the podcast who will. I think a fraction of N8 users will buy it. And I think a fraction of, you know, people who are just interested in imaging will buy it. But I think the sales numbers, it's probably careful not to be too optimistic about this, because in many ways the 808 is almost a concept device. You know, it's what Nokia can learn from about PureView when it's out in the wild. I'm sure they'll be looking at that very carefully. So as much as I want to say, you know, it's going to do fantastically well, I think you have to be realistic about it too.
Yeah. I do have one worry. Now, the gallery application on the 808 is well documented by me and others that it's fairly cut down. That's partly because they had to completely rewrite it to take advantage of using the hardware decoding and handling in the custom image processor on the 808 PureView. So obviously, having rewritten it, they must have taken that, well, we can't implement that feature, and that feature using the image processor at this time. Let's get it out because the device is about to ship, and we'll add those extra features and we'll compile them in later for a firmware update or for an SW update over the air job. That's obviously coming, we hope. I do worry, though, that Nokia will run out of money and resources on the Symbian side of things. We know from our sources inside Nokia that the number of Symbian development staff have been going down, down and down. Do you think Nokia's got enough resources left at base to cope with 808 firmware updates and to put these extra features back into the 808?
I think the 808 will probably be prioritised in that sense, but I think we said before that, you know, we're expecting maybe one more small update in the form of Bell Feature Pack 2. But yes, you know, we all know that the resources around Symbian engineering have been cut. A lot of people have, you know, lost their jobs, or they've moved on to other roles in the company. You know, they've cut that right back, and you know, kind of inevitable when Symbian's been given an end of life. And I think, you know, the software updates are really going to focus around bug fixes, or, you know, specific optimizations for an operator, rather than adding in new functionality. I would guess something like the gallery application is probably the one exception, is in that they will try and get it back to the level it was before. And, you know, we're not talking about big missing bits of functionality here. You know, it still works fine as a gallery sure. application for viewing your images. I mean, it's hard to see it as a priority, because I think really to get the most out of pictures as you capture them on an 808, you really need to take them off the device and look at them on a big screen, print them out, or whatever you're going to do with them. Kind of looking at them just on the screen really doesn't do them justice. You know, yeah. you can take a photograph taken with kind of a normal camera phone and look at that on screen, and look at it while on screen taken with an 808, and actually you'll sometimes be hard pressed to see the difference. It's not until you zoom into a 100% crop that you'll kind of start seeing the detail and kind of the quality of the image, which of course, you know, most people won't do in a gallery application. But yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern. And I think people, if they're buying the 808, they should, you know, go in with a full awareness that there are unlikely to be any major software updates, and the kind of the minor software updates are likely to be restricted more to bug fixes than anything else.
Yeah. It's worth just asking the question also, what sort of general future does the 808 owner face? Now, I've had the Nokia N8 for almost 2 years now, and I'd actually been very happy with it. And with the Bell update, the N8 was just as useful to me almost 2 years later as it was on day one. Now, the 808, the last of its kind, the last great Symbian device, and with Symbian development, you know, winding down at Nokia during 2012, there's unlikely to be really anything that happens to the OS probably in 2013 onwards, although obviously Nokia there to answer the phone if you've got a particular problem, but it's unlikely there'll be any major development. Third-party apps, there'll be obviously, you know, no things like Flipboard, no Kindle, no Audible, all those sort of, think flagship extra applications you might see on the Android platform. They're never going to come to this device. So an 808 owner, I have to say, I've always been a big fan of the converged device theory, that Nokia first defined smartphone as a converged device, a device that would replace multiple gadgets in one, you know, the camera, camcorder, music player, GPS, navigator, and so on. And that's basically how I use my N8. That's how I use my 808. If I want an internet tablet, then I use an iPad, or I'll switch to an Android device, or I'll use my main desktop. So it really depends what you want. If you want a 2012 smartphone that does everything in the way a 2012 smartphone is supposed to be, according to the media and the tech press, quite rightly, it's a valid viewpoint where it's, you know, it's always on, you've got 100,000 applications, then yes, get an Android phone. Don't get the 808. But if you want a phone that basically does a select number of things, replacing a select number of devices incredibly well, with a great speaker, great camera, great screen, great GPS, great navigation software, then the 808 has got a lot to offer, I contend.
Yes, again, you know, this is about going into a purchase decision with all the facts, you know, having an open mind that when you buy the 808, that does mean certain things. And I think in one sense, the good thing is that's pretty clear now. You know, software updates will be minor. There will be, you know, some third-party apps continue to come out, and obviously there's a big existing back catalogue, but, you know, you have to compare that to other devices, you know, be that Android, Windows Phone, iOS, which will continue to get updates. They will continue to have apps released. So it's not just about what's available now, and because there are some things missing in Symbian now, you know, you're talking about Kindle app, for example, but anything new that comes out in the next 2 years, there's a reasonable chance you won't be able to do it with your device. That said, an awful lot of stuff will be accessible via the browser, so it's not, you know, going to go away completely. So you set that against what you can do with it. And as you say, you know, it's first-class sat-nav, you know, amazing camera. As a converged device, I agree, it's hard to think of one that actually does a better all-around job. But, you know, smartphones have become more about this. And in a sense, there's almost been a move away from convergence and more towards it being a computing-like device with apps and services kind of adding the extra features. You know, it's hard to think of a, you know, example of hardware that's been added in the last few years. You know, yes, there's something like NFC, but, you know, if you think back, you know, 3 or 4 years, there was kind of something being added almost every year. You know, we had the cameras come in, we had, you know, recording come in, we had, you know, sat nav and so on, and kind of internet and apps became almost the last bit of that. So yes, I think people need to be very careful when they consider when they're going to do it. For those who are buying it as their solo device, that's completely true. I do think there'll be quite a lot of people buying this almost as a secondary device, or, you know, they want it because they want that, you know, imaging flagship, that benchmark of where camera phones are going. And that then becomes an easy decision. And certainly that would apply to me personally. You know, I'd carry an 808 around in my pocket, but then I'd probably carry a second phone. In my case, it would be, you know, a Windows phone device. You know, currently that's Lumia 800. In the next 6 months, I expect that to be a Windows Phone 8 device, maybe from HTC, maybe from Nokia. And that then makes it easier for me. But I do appreciate that not everyone can make that decision. You can't afford to have two devices on the go. So, you know, that's another reason that kind of limits the 808 sales. It doesn't diminish the device itself at all. But, you know, I think it's only fair to recognize that and understand that context when you're talking about the device.
Yeah. People have asked in the comments whether this is a loan device from Nokia, or whether we have to give it back. Yes, in theory, we do have to give it back. But I have to say, Rafe, they're going to have to come for me, and they're going to have to come for me with armed guards, and it'll be over my cold, dead body when this leaves my hands. So I'm sorry, Nokia, you better resource up, because I'm battening down the hatches and building up the defences. They're not having this one back.
Well, if they ask you it back, Steve, I'm afraid you have to send it back. That's the way the press loans work. In all fairness to Nokia, if you're actively using the device and producing content, which a sneaking suspicion tells me that still will be, they're generally quite happy for extended loan periods. So thank you to Nokia, we should say, for actually sorting out the review devices.
Absolutely. It does say in the documentation, Rafe, there's, quote, when you've finished using this, please contact us to consider the return. Well, I'm still using it, and that may apply for the next couple of years. So according to the letter of the document, Rafe, I can carry on using it as long as I want. So there. Now, we're going to do something different. We're going to bring in David Gilson because we want to chat about other things than the 808, just to give you a bit of a break. And we'll obviously come back to the 808 and the continuing adventure in next week's podcast. But for now, Rafe's going to dial up David. So, hi, David Gilson.
Hello, Steve. Yes, it's good to be here. I thought I'd leave you guys to talk about the phone, but I don't have yet.
We don't want two people on this podcast agreeing with jealousy after all, so you can stay your normal fella. I just want to get you on to discuss a couple of stories. One is that the Microsoft apps, that's specifically Link 2010, PowerPoint Broadcast, OneNote, and Office Mobile, which weren't available as an update for the Nokia N8 because of its limited system disk, that's Disk C, that has now been released. They've reworked the installer, so basically now some of it does go on C. I think you lose about 20-odd megabytes or so, and the rest of it does go on now the mass memory, which is good news. So anybody with an N8, you can now go into SW Update, or indeed Nokia Suite, on your PC, and you'll see the update. Microsoft Apps 2.01, they have definitely worked on it since 2.00, which was the version released for the other Symbian devices. David, you've installed this. How did you get on?
Right, well, I lost more than 20 megabytes off of my C drive. I had about 70-something megabytes free, and I've gone down to 43, so bear that in mind, everyone. Yes. The components that I've been testing specifically have been OneNote and Office Mobile. OneNote works great, and it's great to have that plugged in to a Symbian device because I'm using it everywhere else. I have it on Android, I have it on the desktop, obviously have it on Windows Phone 7. Office Mobile is working well, although there are some problems that I will come back to, but how it's supposed to work and how it's mostly working, it gives you a list of all the files that it finds on your device locally, plus everything it finds in your email attachments, because also remember that if you're using Mail for Exchange, that is rebranded as part of the Office Yeah. suite as a whole. And it also automatically puts itself in as the default editor for Office files, so it will take over from QuickOffice. So say if you browse files in the built-in file manager of Symbian, you can just tap on a file and it will launch the relevant Office editor for Symbian.
Sure.
That's great. There's some limited editing facilities. I think there seems to be more, from what I've discovered, there seems to be more formatting abilities in Excel than there is in Word, which seems a little bit odd. But they both have an outline view. So whether you've got a spreadsheet with multiple sheets or a document with tiered headings, you can jump around easily. And you can edit content. I say it is very limited. One problem that I've run into, which has been something of a pain, is that when I first installed it, I had a folder full of like sample Office files for testing. and I decided to get rid of that folder. However, even now, and I've tried all sorts of things, everything short of uninstalling the Office suite, it's still listing these deleted files. Plus, this morning I downloaded a Word file from Dropbox onto my Symbian device, and it's not listing that, which it seems a bit bonkers. So if I forget about the icon that says Office Mobile and just know that Word's there for me to look at the files of the file manager, well, then it works well. Although I don't know what's causing this problem, and I know Rafe hasn't had this problem.
Yeah, maybe we're expecting a version 2.02 then update, right? I think to fix the, obviously there's a file indexing issue there, which you could probably work around, but yeah, it definitely needs to be addressed. One reason I would actually recommend people installing this update, I mean, Office Mobile, OneNote, PowerPoint Broadcast, Link 2010, they're not really must installs in my eyes, but there's one thing that comes along with MS apps, and as you mentioned in passing, there are enhancements to the Exchange support, and also actually tweaks the interface of the Symbian Nokia Bell mail application, so you get extra icon on the toolbar, for example. And I've noticed that using the Microsoft Exchange on the 808 PureView, it's a lot more reliable for me than it was on previous devices. So if for no other reason than you want a better email experience and a better Exchange experience, then I would actually recommend you do go ahead with the update. And indeed on SW update on the 808 PureView, Rafe, I'm rather disappointed that you can't just pick the updates you want. You either have to have all the updates they recommend or none of them, which seems a bit of a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, because I'm sure some people would just have the Exchange update and would be content to keep using kind of a quick Office. I think I said in my original write-up of this, this Office update is particularly aimed at enterprise users because of some of the cloud integration features that come with it. But, you know, it's good news that this has arrived for the N8, because it was one of the better-selling Symbian 3 devices. And David mentioned in passing there about the formatting in Word versus Excel. It is actually available in Word, but it does appear to be quite well hidden. I remember coming across this when I was using it for the first time, and actually to get at formatting in Word, you actually have to highlight the text and then from the pop-up toolbar choose the formatting tool, and then you get the same kind of formatting tools as you have in Excel. It's actually very limited. It's only things like bold, italic, underline, font size, and then some highlights and some colors, but it is there. But I would say really these applications, unless you're doing very basic edits, and it's really about the content, either the words or the numbers in the Excel spreadsheet, you're probably not going to be getting very far. It's not as comprehensive as some of the Office solutions you find on other devices, for example. But it does a good job of reading everything, and as I say, then keeping things going up and down to the cloud. So from that point of view, yes, it's worthy of install, and of course it's all running on the kind of the latest Bell UI, so it fits in better with the rest of the device compared to some of the third party suites. But I think it's kind of a shame it's taken this long to get to the N8, and it's kind of a good example of one of the problems that Symbian has had in terms of delivering these kind of software updates. If the underlying hardware wasn't quite there, they haven't been able to deliver it in quite as a smoother fashion as you would hope. And really having this coming 3 or 4 months behind, everything else, it kind of goes to me, I wish they'd done a bit more forward planning. And as Steve intimated, we think this is basically down to the amount of free disk space available on the C drive.
In fairness, Rafe, many, many Android phones over the last few years have had limited system disk space and have had exactly the same issue. This is not just Nokia and Symbian.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, this is an industry-wide issue. It's not, I shouldn't unfairly say this is just Nokia. It's everybody. But I sometimes wish that just a little bit more forethought was given to this kind of thing. I mean, it is getting better. And in all fairness, the second generation of Symbian 3 devices had a much more generous internal memory. And, we've seen them being able to get updates, no problem. But this is something that's been occurring for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's not exactly a new problem.
Yeah, and there's one little moan I'll have as well. I think that the way this is rolled out, especially with its enterprise focus, I think it does perhaps speak to the lack of communication between different wings within Microsoft, because I was disappointed that there wasn't more of a consumer focus on this, i.e. by having it support SkyDrive, because there is this background agenda to have Symbian users be encouraged to switch over to Windows Phone, and having them use SkyDrive and getting them used to doing that as they would on Windows Phone if they use Office documents on their phone is one way to do that. but there's only SharePoint support for corporate systems.
I think that's a fair enough point, David. But on the other hand, I think it's also more of a theoretical issue, because if you're on a Symbian device, I don't think you'll be very likely to be using SkyDrive. That would actually change once Windows 8 comes in, and that's kind of an integral part of SkyDrive. But at the moment, you know, the main reason for using SkyDrive is probably that it's built into Windows Phone, and I suspect people have installed it on their PCs because of that. You know, there are maybe other reasons, but the majority of Symbian users, I don't think they use SkyDrive. Would it make it them easier to switch? Perhaps, but I think the enterprise piece is probably far more important. But you're right. I mean, this is a bit of software that's almost certainly been delivered by the enterprise wing of Microsoft, and you know, that's where the emphasis has come on that. And I mean, I think we should probably also recognize that this is a benefit that's been a long time in coming. You know, Nokia and Microsoft announced a partnership a long time ago. I suspect this got accelerated a little bit once the, you know, sign up and the switch to Windows Phone happened. So in one sense, it's kind of good that this thing has arrived on Symbian, and it does actually make it pretty strong from an enterprise point of view. If you're not using a Windows Phone device, you know, the Nokia devices provide probably the best Microsoft pure experience in terms of access to the enterprise tools, you know, the server stuff like SharePoint and Link, as well as documents and Exchange as well. So, you know, it's actually a pretty strong proposition in terms of, you know, enterprise devices, especially when you consider you can get some of these Symbian 3 devices pretty cheaply now.
Let's finish on a lighter note. One of our friends of my family is a 15-year-old called Luke, who's absolutely dotty about a board game called Carcassonne, which effectively involves a playing surface, of course, usually just a table, and then loads and loads of these little tiles with bits of buildings and fields and castles and rivers and so on, and then you take it in turn to pull random tiles off, you pop them on the board, and you try and arrange them to create empires for yourself and get points. And it actually gets insanely complicated, because the actual scoring arrangement and who owns which bit of which field does completely leave me for dead. He's kind of mastered it, but it's complicated. Now, there's been a version created for Symbian. David's been trying it out. So is the electronic version simpler than the board game, David? And also, is that any fun?
Well, it was fun, as in it was an intellectual challenge to try and understand it, because I read the built-in help and didn't understand it. So I was trying to learn how to play heuristically. If you've read my review, and from your experience of playing it on an actual board game, perhaps you can judge how well I actually understood the game. By the time I finished testing it and started writing, I was getting the hang of how things worked, because you get these tiles that will have sections of a city or a field or a road on them, and you can put people on them. And once a road or a city is completed, you get the person back, although not if they're on a field. If they're on a field, they're stuck there until the end of the game, when all 79 tiles have been used. And then there's a lot of totting up to be done for the scores in the end. I think you could, even though it is very complicated, I think you could actually just play this and not understand it, because you do build up an idea as you go along, because you get to see the computer playing, and you can have up to 3 artificial intelligence players. So you can see what they're doing and try and get a hang of it. So it's like playing alongside a master anyway, so you can learn from them and just try different things and see what works and what doesn't.
The main attraction for me was that the computer game did all the complicated maths and adding up and working out what goes where, whereas that's the big single biggest headache about the board game. I love playing that, you know, positioning things and building an empire and seeing how big a castle I can create, but I absolutely hate the way everything gets totted up and you get arguments. Oh no, that road's not finished. Ah yes, but that backs onto this and I have half of that share, and it just gets a complete nightmare. So having an electronic game do the hard work for me sounds very attractive.
Well, I think that is the definite benefit. I think the only in-between road would be to play on the board game and use a spreadsheet on the side, although even then you'll still get the arguments. So yes, you've got the computer there as a master player and adjudicator as well.
Yeah, it's a bit like the computer version of Monopoly for Symbian 3, which always worked very well, because again with Monopoly you always have arguments about the rules, and you get, and the money gets everywhere and it gets dropped, and is this your money or my money, and whose is that £500 note. To have all of that handled for you by the game is just absolutely the right way to go. Maybe you can do a top 5 board game conversions at some point, David, if you haven't already, and that would make a nice article for the site.
I will put that on my list of lists.
There we go. I think we're out of time, guys. It'd be lovely speaking to you, Rafe, about the 808. I trust you're not too green.
No, I'm sure I'll get to try an 808 before too long, and I'm enjoying the fact that you're having a lot of fun taking loads of photos, and we'll be seeing a lot more of those on the site in the next few weeks.
Absolutely, and thank you to David Gilson for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, and it's interesting to talk about these other two apps alongside the 808 stuff.
Yep, and we will catch you all, dear listener, next week on the All About Symbian Insight podcast. Thanks very much.